Hello and welcome everybody to the CSFL Hub podcast. I am your host as always, Kyle. Today we will be going over the week one results from opening weekend. Firstly, I'd just like to say how happy I was to see, you know, so much amazing football being played. You know, after the year we all had, all suffering different ways, different places, but ultimately, you know, not being able to play ball to the fullest extent definitely, you know, hit a lot of people hard. But just to see everybody back on the field, playing games, playing the sport we all love, competing at a high level, definitely warmed my heart. And to see, you know, all these athletes, you know, bear the fruit of their labor, you know, all the hard work, all the blood, the sweat, the tears, the 10,000 hours, really get put to use, you know, was definitely something I was happy to see, regardless of the situations. But, you know, now that season's kicked off, you know, we're all competing for one goal, one thing, you know, be the best players you can be for the sake of your team. Put your team in positions to, you know, win games and, you know, be an impactful player. So, you know, we're going to dive right into it, go over the scores from this week and just chat a little bit about what we saw, what we like, what we didn't like, and get the ball rolling. So we'll start with the Friday game, 7 p.m. games, open up the week, open up the season. We'll start with Army versus Penn. Army won that game 38-13. It was a home game for Army. My player of the game for that game was senior quarterback J.C. Watson. He finished with 170 yards, three passing touchdowns, added another 42 yards on the ground, added a rushing score as well. So right from the get-go, Army jumped out to the 7-0 lead. Watson hit senior wide receiver Craig Hamilton for 80-odd-some yard touchdown, opened up the game. Army definitely took advantage of the fact that Penn traditionally does not have strong corners. Definitely have had some guys at the safety position, as Stu Heckelson and Tom Console, guy I really like now there, Luca Curran. But at the cornerback position, definitely traditionally has not been, you know, their strongest position, you know, on their team. If not, you know, probably one of the weaker positions on their team. Adding to that, you know, they did have a young guy out there starting a freshman. I believe the other corner was a young guy as well. So, you know, they definitely took advantage of that very, very early in the game. Took advantage of the fact that they like to traditionally play that, you know, cover three bailout defense, you know, have guys 7-8 yards off the ball, you know, open up a lot of things for their screen game, open up a lot of things, you know, running two routes at a guy, you know, having him pick one, hitting the other guy. That opening touchdown to Craig Hamilton, he just ran by the young guy. So definitely shows the Army passing attack is back in full force. And again, senior quarterback J.C. Watson really had a coming out party. Ultimately, did play a game last fall. It was a tight-knit game, first start. Definitely not the experience of all these weapons that they have now. So this was, you know, officially, unofficially, his, you know, coming out party. So that was definitely nice to see for that young man. On the defensive side of the ball, they had some guys, you know, really ball out. Senior linebacker David Dickerson essentially had his coming out party. He finished the game with 9 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 3 sacks. Those 3 sacks put him up there for one of the highest totals for sacks in the game, tie him for 5th with a handful of other guys in Army and in CSFL history. So, you know, 3 sacks in the game is good for 5th most in CSFL history. So that's definitely something to be proud of for opening day. It should only be a testament of things to come for him in his senior season. And, you know, sophomore linebacker Luke Gigliotti also had a really good game. I'm really high on him as a backer. He had 6 tackles and a tackle for loss. So Army defense, Army offense, both sides of the ball came out swinging and ultimately got them the win for the game. And they get ready to go to West Virginia next week to take on Alderson Broaddus. On the other side for Penn, ultimately didn't get the win. But there was definitely some things you like out there that they put on tape. You know, sophomore or junior quarterback Andrew Polanini. Again, if I'm ever mispronouncing somebody's name, obviously, no, it's not on purpose. And if I see you at a game, you know, feel free to DM me, text me as well. Plenty of guys have my number. Plenty of coaches have my number. If I'm mispronouncing somebody's name, please let me know or I will keep doing it out of ignorance. So please let me know if I'm mispronouncing any names moving forward on any team on for any players. But anyway, yeah, Andrew threw for 255 yards, 2 touchdowns. Completion percentage just absolutely was not there. You know, he completed 9 passes, but that was just a testament to type of pressure Army was putting on him and type of defense they were playing in the secondary. You know, they sacked Andrew 6 times and hit him countless other times and consistently made him move off of his spot. So absolutely terrorized the young man, but still managed to throw for 255 yards, which is testament to, you know, the type of things he might be able to do throughout the season. Senior running back Laquan McKeever finished with 61 yards on the ground. Ultimately didn't get into the end zone, but those 61 yards are really a testament on his ability. You know, they're definitely playing with a young offensive line. It is what it is. Not an excuse, but, you know, to still manage 61 yards on a really, really good defense, again, just shows the type of ball carrier, type of back he's going to continue to be throughout the season for his final year. So I'm excited to see, you know, what production he'll bring the team, you know, as they continue to move forward throughout the season. Now, the star of the game, if, you know, they would have got a win, undoubtedly would have been the player of the game, senior wide receiver Brendan McCaffrey. He finished with 3 receptions, 191 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The theme of this week in this game and some of the other games as we get to them is definitely rewriting the record books. I think there is no better way to have opening weekend for some of these players and some of these teams. But Brandon's 191 yards is good for the third highest total in Penn Sprint football history, and is good for the 9th highest total in CSFL history. So, you know, ultimately, again, didn't get the win, but the production he put out on the field is one of the greatest performances, you know, the league's ever seen in terms of a guy going out there and producing for his team, you know, trying to put his team in a position to win a game. So, you know, that's a testament to the ability McCaffrey brings. You know, not the biggest guy in the world, you know, real slight of frame, but he's really, really fast, really good route runner. You know, I saw that out of him when he was a freshman and I was a senior. So now to see him be a senior and only improve every year after, you know, I first saw him is definitely something that, you know, warms my heart to see, you know, the young guys you played with and play against now that it's their turn to dominate and be the best players in the league. It's definitely nice to see. So McCaffrey is going to continue to dominate throughout the season. You know, he's undoubtedly the go-to guy, you know, not breaking any news saying that. You know, expect Ben Klaus to contribute more as the season goes on. But Friday night was definitely McCaffrey's day to, you know, show the league like, hey, I'm going to be one of the best players in this league. You better game plan for me or I'll eat you alive. So big ups to him, what he put on the field that day. And, you know, look out for the Penn offense as they move forward and they get stuff figured out. On the defensive side of the ball, Lewis Evans definitely showed up and showed out. You know, he finished with 12 tackles in the day, led the entire game in tackles and led Penn in tackles. He led Penn in tackles for the season. His freshman year, so he's going to be a tackling machine in that 3-4 that they run. You know, he mans the middle. He's definitely going to be able to do some things very similar to, you know, a JJ they had a few years ago, Aaron Johnson, who was one of the most physically talented players they've had on the defensive side of ball. But when they did put him at Mike, he proved to be a dominant Mike as well. So expect Lewis Evans to continue to dominate throughout the season. And Penn will get ready to head up north to see Mansfield, you know, looking to get their first win of the year. So next up, we have the second Friday game, kicked off at 7 o'clock as well. I had the pleasure of being at this game, and that was Chestnut Hill versus Alderson Brodus. Chestnut Hill managed to win the game 28-7, and my player of the game was junior defensive back, hybrid linebacker Ryan Jakeman. He finished with 5 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. So much like the tone of the previous game, there was a lot of firsts, a lot of records, you know, done in this game. First thing, you know, Coach Gio Thomas recorded his first win as a head coach at Chestnut Hill. So I know that's something, you know, that will probably mean more to him, you know, when he's a little long in the tooth as the year goes on, you know, not looking to just have one win in the season. But to get your first win is definitely something special as a coach. You know, being a coach myself, I know how important that is. And, you know, setting the tone for your culture, setting the tone for your program. And it's something to look back on, you always remember. So congratulations to Coach Thomas for getting his first win as a head coach. Some more first, sophomore quarterback Lonnie Sobolski recorded his first start. Also got his first collegiate touchdowns. He finished with 103 yards, added 15 yards on the ground, and 2 touchdowns as well. The young quarterback definitely showed some mobility and elusiveness that, you know, Chestnut Hill hasn't seen since former wide receiver Reggie Robinson was there in his lone year at quarterback. So he definitely proved to be, you know, very, very mobile, showed what he can do on the ground, ultimately had more than 15 yards rushing, but, you know, got tackled for losses, gave up a few sacks. So that brought the total yardage down, but he definitely showed he's going to be able to move, going to be able to get out of there keep the defense honest with his legs. So that's definitely something Chestnut Hill is excited to see. Freshman running back Anthony Broderick finished his game with 77 yards and one touchdown, also his first collegiate touchdown. So again, a lot of firsts in this game for the Griffins. On the defensive side of the ball, the unit was led by junior linebacker Luke Anatazi. He finished with 7 tackles, also added a tackle for loss and a forced fumble. And again, to start a game for me, my player of the game for this game was Ryan Jakeman. Impacted the game in the run, in the pass, made plays in the backfield all night. Definitely had a couple big hits out there and just proved to be, you know, he was going to be one of the more important pieces for this Chestnut Hill defense and one of their leaders. Freshman defensive lineman Brian Wall also set the tone for the front. You know, Chestnut Hill definitely played with a rotation, 7-8-man rotation up front with their front four. But Brian Wall was definitely one of the highlights. He finished with 4 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 3 sacks himself. You know, with David Dickerson, you know, the 3 sack total, they're tied with 3 sacks apiece. 3 sack total gives them the lead for sacks in the season and ties them both for, you know, 5th most sacks in CSFL history with a handful of other guys. So for a freshman to come out there and have a game like that, make a statement like that, definitely goes to show, you know, he may be a guy to look out for as the season goes on. In that Griffins, defensive line front rotation. The Griffins get ready to go to Annapolis next week to take on Navy to keep the ball rolling and get ready for week 2. Alderson Brodus definitely showed some flashes, some things I definitely like to see from them. One thing that I think was a testament to the young man's ability was junior quarterback Timmy Turner. He finished with 116 yards and 1 touchdown. So he was essentially running for his life, similar to Penn junior quarterback Andrew Pannoli. He got sacked 6 times, got hit countless other times, got forced off his spot countless other times. You know, Alderson Brodus is playing with a young offensive line. That's no secret. I'm not breaking any news with that. And you definitely saw it out there. You know, he was having to move a lot, but he still made some things happen. And I think he's definitely going to show and prove to be one of the more talented quarterbacks in the league. You know, you hope as the team matures, the skill groups mature, the offensive line matures, he'll be able to really show how dangerous he can be as a distributor of the ball. But I definitely, you know, like the game and the product that Timothy Tillman put out there on the field that day. Again, rushing the ball due to the young offensive line wasn't really there. It just wasn't there. You know, they weren't able to dominate that defensive line for Chestnut Hill, that linebacker core, quite frankly, you know, even, you know, managed to put anything productive out there, finishing with a negative net total yardage for rushing the ball. But in the, you know, pass catching aspect, the receiving aspect, there was definitely a lot to see from there, too, in terms of their receivers. Well, one receiver in particular, junior wide receiver Shimon Jenis, finished with 6 receptions, 114 yards, and a touchdown. So Shimon definitely was a presence on the field very early on. Opened up the game with a big pass to him, a 39-yard reception to open up the game, put Alderson Brodus in scoring range. He definitely showed he's going to be a top-notch wide receiver threat. We'll see how defenses react to his big performance, you know, maybe starting to keep a safety over top of him. He's a big body guy. Around that 6-foot range, he was making acrobatic catches all night. Definitely popped out to me immediately as soon as the game started. As a guy who's gonna be able to, despite, you know, if the offensive line's giving, you know, Tillman trouble and he can get it off, he's definitely gonna be a guy that can win a 50-50 ball. He's definitely gonna be a guy, you know, they're definitely gonna favor in terms of when they need to make a play. When we need something to happen, they definitely threw it up to him, and he went out there and he competed. And he showed, you know, as the season goes on, he's definitely going to be a receiver to look out for in terms of, you know, who's going to be playmakers for their teams. On the defensive side of the ball for Alderson Brodus, again, there was some good stuff there. Freshman linebacker Darian Bordy finished with 15 tackles, a tackle and a half for loss, and 1.5 sacks. His 15 tackles is the most tackles in the game in Alderson Brodus Sprint football history. So, again, another freshman opening up the season, rewriting the record book, setting a record, and showing that, you know, he's going to be someone to look out for as the season goes on. His 15 tackles in a game, again, is good, tied with about 3-4 other guys for 6th best in CSFL history. So for a freshman to come out there and have a top 10 single game performance just goes to show the talent that's across the league, you know, even with some of these young guys in the league going out there and doing, setting records that, you know, a lot of the other guys on those type of lists set when they were juniors and seniors. To go out there as a freshman and have one of the 10 to 15 best single game performances in terms of amount of tackles as a freshman, again, is a testament to the type of guys they have there and a testament to that young man's ability as a football player. So Alderson Brodus gets ready to welcome Army next week. It'll be the first time they played them, so that should be a good game down there in West Virginia. Move on to the next game, then we're going to our Saturday game. So Saturday game at 1 o'clock was Navy at Stack. Navy won that game 55-7. My player of the game was sophomore wide receiver Andrew Margiotta. He finished with 5 receptions, 164 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So Navy took the lead really early on. Didn't really turn back after that. Sophomore quarterback Brandon Atwood made his debut, his first start. He didn't play in the game last season, so this was his first chance to go out there and get some live action. He finished with 313 yards and 4 touchdowns. So quarterback definitely showed some really, really good mobility. Maybe not as much of a downhill runner as a Nick Dearding or a Braden Schmiel, but he definitely showed he can get the job done when he needs to. Definitely ran for a couple first downs with some third and shorts and some situational plays where it was the best decision to use his legs. So it definitely showed he can move out there. You know, he's going to be a guy you got to watch out for, especially, you know, if this game was anything indicative of how he can move the ball. It definitely definitely looked like a better passer than the quarterbacks they've had. And most recently, in a Braden Schmiel and a Jake Foss, I believe his last name was. In one game, he looked better than the both of those two combined in like 2 seasons, to be quite frank. So definitely a guy you're going to have to look out for in terms of the quarterback position. Senior running back Matthew McGee started off his senior campaign on the high note. 97 yards, 1 touchdown on the ground. Is definitely their lead ball carrier. You know, junior running back Alex Tota definitely worked his way in there too. Tota's more of the, you know, combination back. Caught some passes out the backfield. Definitely maybe, I don't want to say faster, but he's more elusive. McGee is definitely that downhill runner, that bell cow. You're going to get the ball between the tackles and just let him run. So he did a good job setting the tone on the day for the day for Navy in the running game. Offensive line did a great job, you know, giving him lanes to run through. And, you know, he's a tough runner, fast kid. He did the rest himself. The star of the day, again, was in the passing game. Sophomore wide receiver Andrew Margiotta had a prolific day. And, again, to keep the trend going, he had a record-setting day on opening day. His 164 yards is good for the 11th most in CSFL history, and it's good for the 2nd most receiving yards in a game in Navy history behind Matthew Height. Gonna do some more digging, but this may be the first 100-yard receiving game they've had from a guy in about 2 seasons. So that's a great sign. And, you know, not only did he, you know, show good ability to catch the ball, he made a lot of plays. Definitely helped out Atwood's numbers at the end of the day. Margiotta was breaking tackles, had a lot of yak. Of those 164 yards, probably close to 60 or 70 of them was, you know, yards after the catch. You know, him breaking tackles, him making guys miss and working his way into the end zone. So if he is going to be that type of receiver, he may be the best receiver they've had there in quite some time. Be interested to see what he does next week against Chestnut Hill. But that's something that they've definitely been lacking in the offense, is a guy who can, you know, stake claim to being a dominant receiver. Definitely would have helped out Schmiel and Foss back in the day if they had a guy who could, you know, compete at the highest level in terms of being one of the better receivers in the league. So if he's going to be a guy who can continuously give you production like that, go up and compete against the top DBs in the league, Navy will continue to be very, very dangerous because you know what they're going to give you running the ball. So I was pleasantly surprised, happily surprised to see such a impactful passing game out of them from week one. Traditionally, the last 2 seasons with Braden Schmiel at the quarterback position, that's something you didn't see just because of a lack of ability to pass the ball. So that was definitely really, really good to see. On the defensive side of the ball, a lot of love got spread. Again, you know, in the fashion that they won the game. You know, Stack didn't spend a whole lot of time out on the field, so, you know, wasn't a guy who could muster up a whole bunch of tackles. Had about seven guys get at least three tackles, so, you know, it was a multi-headed attack out there today. Although we did have some guys get some interceptions. Adam Weisenfeld, who's really, really high on as a senior defensive back, one of the better athletes in the secondary across the league, he had a pick. And then Job Long also had a pick with a big return as well. So, again, Navy heads back home next week to welcome Chestnut Hill, and that should be a good game too. Looking forward to that one. On the other side, with Stack, again, ultimately did not get the win, managed to get a touchdown on the board their opening day. Welcome Navy to New York. Freshman quarterback Dennis Rordan got the start over some other guys who I thought would have been able to contribute. But it was good to see the freshman go out there and do what he could. Finished with 107 yards. Didn't get, you know, on the board, throwing the ball. Ultimately threw two picks as well. But he didn't get a lot of help. You know, there were some drops out there on some good balls that he threw. Obviously, the offensive line, you know, didn't do a good job, you know, contributing to the run game, which would have helped him out and would have made them less one-dimensional. Only got sacked one or two times, but still, you know, he wasn't able to effectively, you know, move the ball down the field due to some other circumstances with the offensive line and the receivers. But I definitely liked what I saw from the young man. Should be a competent quarterback moving forward. I'm looking forward to seeing him, you know, get a little bit more comfortable. So maybe 2 to 3 weeks down the line, it'll be really interesting to see how he's matured and, you know, what type of ball he's putting on the field. A long touchdown was scored by junior running back Elijah Gordon. Managed to find the end zone when Stack was in the red zone, like a 15-yard run. Scamper got him in there. His lone touchdown of the day. He finished with 19 yards rushing, which was the most rushing yards for Stack on that day. Wide receiver Hassan Blankney, a freshman, had a good day for them. 5 receptions, 73 yards, led them in receiving. Definitely showed he could go out there and make some plays. Again, against a talented DB in Adam Weisenfeld. So I can't say enough. I think he's one of the better DBs in the league. So to go out there and, you know, show, hey, I'm, you know, even though we're young guys, freshmen and sophomores, Makai Matthews as well, and say, you know, we're going to go out there and we're going to be able to do some stuff, you know, regardless of what's going on. So that was definitely pleasant to see. Defensive side of the ball, senior defensive end Tyreek Smith showed up, did what he could, finished with 11 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 1 forced fumble. And sophomore linebacker Chris Jones added another 9 tackles, 0.5 tackle for loss. Also had an INT when Navy was driving, when the game was still relatively close. I believe at the time it was 7-0. May have been the first quarter still. You know, flipped the field, gave them a lot of momentum. Ultimately, they couldn't capitalize on the turnover. But it was good to see the young man go out there and compete. Definitely came out of nowhere as well. Made a great read from the backer position and got about a 30-odd some yard return out of it as well. So Stack hits the road next week, going to Jersey to take on Caldwell as they look for their first win. We are in the last game, last Saturday night game, Saturday Night Lights, prime time. We had Cornell at Mansfield. So Mansfield won that game big time, 48-3. So two Saturday games were, you know, very, very one-sided. Like I said, Mansfield won that game 48-3. My player of the game is freshman quarterback Kasid Raymond. He had a heck of a day, finished with 168 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 158 yards on the ground, and 2 touchdowns. Raymond's 158 yards on the ground is the third highest single game total in Mansfield history in terms of running the ball. So again, we have another guy coming out, first game, first start. Couple freshmen did it as well, but first game, first start, and started rewriting the record books, first time on the field. Just, again, amazing to see, you know, just getting back, being able to play ball. But, you know, he definitely showed the type of athlete he's going to be. His longest run of the day, I think, was around 75 yards. Then he had another run to like 50-odd-some yards. So he definitely is a guy you're going to have to watch out for in terms of his ability to run the ball. He was the leading rusher on the day, obviously, of course. Wasn't much from the rushing attack from Mansfield outside of that, But ultimately, you know, the score got to be what it got to be, you know, so fast that, you know, I don't think they tried to, you know, run the ball in the fashion that they have in years previously. So we'll see, you know, in tighter games, you know, how their running game is, you know, from their ball carry, traditional ball carriers outside of quarterback. And again, you know, passing the ball, they only threw, Raymond only threw eight passes because, again, the game got so out of hand for me, for Cornell so fast, didn't ask him to do a lot outside of the passes that he threw. But again, counted for four touchdowns. So he had a heck of a day. Sophomore wide receiver Isaiah Gruden and freshman wide receiver LaTrenton Randall, you know, called a touchdown apiece, 85 and 83 yards respectively. So those two young men paired up with Raymond to be proved to be very, very explosive. Opening night. They just go to show, you know, how potentially explosive this offense might be as the year goes on. Defensive side of the ball, Mansfield was led by their stud at Mike, Matt Roberts, guy I'm really high on at the backer position. He finished with 11 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, one pass broken up. Coming right back off of a very, very dominant freshman year. Again, ultimately didn't play last year because of COVID, but came right back, didn't miss a beat, double-digit tackles. He finished every game his freshman season with double-digit tackles, so he could be a threat to do that again this year as well. In the secondary, craziness happened as well. Again, another freshman coming in, setting some records, rewriting the record books. Freshman DB Nakeem Scott tied the Mansfield record for interceptions in the game. He's tied with newly inducted CSFL Hub Hall of Famer, former standout safety Troy Taylor. He picked off three passes in the game. All three of the interceptions were back-to-back-to-back, I believe. So three straight drives in a row. He managed to pick off the Cornell quarterbacks. And he goes to show, you know, he may be a threat in terms of being a momentum swinger, a gambler, you know, trying to get some turnovers for his defense, give his offense back the ball. So ultimately, it was a very, very strong showing for Mansfield. And they look to, you know, continue their success at home as they welcome Penn for their homecoming next week. Other side of the ball for Cornell, ultimately, you know, was not a very successful day for them. Only points they managed to put up on the board was a field goal, prevented the shutout. Newly transferred starting quarterback, junior Xavier Martinez, threw 406 yards, but they couldn't get much going offensively. He threw no touchdowns with the interception. Backup quarterback came in too as well. He threw three interceptions. I think he was the one who threw them back to back to back. Rushing the ball, again, managed to get a little bit of movement up there. Evan Nichols, who was extremely versatile in the day, you know, getting some quarterback in there, running the ball, got some passes at receiver as well. He had 54 yards in the ground. Junior running back, junior running back Jacob Wingcoop, who is probably going to be one of their most productive offensive players, definitely their most productive ball carrier by far. He added 47 yards on the ground on 15 attempts. So ultimately, the rushing game was there in some semblance, but not enough to sustain drives and ultimately not enough to put any points on the board. Same guy, Evan Nichols, again, got some bump out there in terms of catching the ball. He led the Big Red in receiving yards with 54 yards in the air as well. So again, there were some big plays, 45 yards, excuse me, were some big plays here and there, but again, not enough to get on the board and not enough to, you know, threaten Mansfield in the game. Defensive side of the ball, again, not a lot there this game. Matthew Peck led Cornell in tackles with eight, and he forced a fumble at some point in the game, but, you know, one sack, not many tackles for loss to go around for Cornell defense. And they will be getting their bye next week and getting right back to it, welcoming Caldwell to NY on October 1st. So that is the rundown of week one. Again, it was an exciting week. A lot of records broken. Record books look a little different after this week. I'll be sure to make sure I get those updated. Everyone can see. But again, I was just so happy to see ball being played after the tumultuous year that we all experienced. So, you know, team, everybody's half teams 1-1, half teams 0-1. get right back to it next week. You know, I'm sure teams will be watching film today, making their corrections, coaching up their guys, getting ready for week two. So on that note, again, it feels so good to be back. So good to be covering the sport I love again. Sports you all love. So we're going to get right back into it. Expect another episode out next week. Be posting an article in just a little bit. So on that note, great to be back. See you guys next week for week two. Peace.